So it's the 20th of December 2016 at the VIHE in Vrindavan, and we're doing Canto 3, Chapter 2, Text 16 to 34. So we're finishing our chapter. Okay, everybody together? Everybody ready? 16?
Yes.
Manke dayare tada jasya janma vidambana dyad vasudeva gaye rajeta vasori bayari vasvayam puradva vasidhyad ananta virya. When I think of Lord Krishna, how he was born in the prison house of Vasudeva, although he is unborn, we went away from his father's protection to Raja and lived there incognito out of fear of the enemy, and how, although unlimitedly powerful, he fled from Mathura in fear. All these bewildering incidents give me distress. Do no titita saratoma maitad yara padva vidanya pito tatamba kamsa duru sankitana prasidatam no krita nisritina. Lord Krishna begged pardon from his parents for their, Krishna and Balaram's, inability to serve their feet due to being away from home because of great fear of Kamsa. He said, O mother, O father, please excuse us for this inability. All this behavior of the Lord gives me pain at heart. Kova amusyandri saroja enum vismartam ishita puman vijigram yogishpura bruvita pena bumer varam kritatena tirakshachakara. Whoever smelling the dust of his lotus feet even once could ever forget it. Simply by expanding the leaves of his eyebrows, Krishna has given the death blow to those who are burdening the earth. Trisabhavadvirnanurajasuye chaidasya krishnam drisotopisevi yam yogina samsprita yanti samyaj yogena kasa virahamsa eta. You have personally seen how the king of Chedi, Shishupala, achieved success in yoga practice, although he hated Lord Krishna. Even the actual yogis aspire after such success created by performance of their various practices. Who can tolerate such
energy? Yama-chakri-krishna-mukha-ravindam Nejai-pivantonaya-dami-yamam Artas-chakruta-patama-purasya. Certain and others were fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. When we were fighting on the songs of Krishna's arrows, and when seeing the lotus-like face of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the effort of the Lord.
Swayam kya samyati shastra disha swaraja lakshmyapta samasta kama lami haradis chira loka palai kirita kote dita padapita. Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of trees and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation, who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet. Tatasya kankarya malam britano vigma payatyanga yadugrasenam tishtan nisanam parameshti dishne nyai bodhaya devane harayeti. Therefore, O Vidura, does it not pain us, his servants, when we remember that he, Lord Krishna, used to stand before King Vidrasena, who was sitting on the royal throne, and used to submit explanations before him, saying, O my Lord, please let it be known to you. Aho Bhakti Yam Sanakala Kutam Jigam sayapayaya rabya sadvi Lebe gatim dakyukitam tatonyam Kamba dayalum sharanam rajema. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to Shijin and Putana? Although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. Manye suran bhagavatam stradi samram bhamarga binivista chitam yesam yuge chakshata tarkshaputram Anse sunaba yudama patantam. I consider the demons who are inimical toward the Lord to be more than the devotees because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Tarksha Kasyapa, and carrying the wheel weapon in his hand. Sudeva Devakyam Jato Bojindra Vandana Chikishur Bhagavanasya Samajena Biyachita. The personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, being created to by Brahma to bring welfare to the earth, was begotten by Vasudeva in the womb of his wife Devaki in the prison of the king of Bhoja. Tato Nanda Raja Mita Pita Kamsa Bibhaya Ekadasha Samantatra Udaharachi Sabavasat. Thereafter, his father, being afraid of Kamsa, brought him to the cow pastures of Maharaj Nanda, and there he lived for 11 years like a cup of flame with his elder brother Baladev. Parishya vasa paivansam charayam yavara vibhu yamuno pavane kujar dvijasam kulitan rinpe. In his childhood, the Almighty Lord was surrounded by coward boys and calves, and thus he traveled on the shore of the Yamuna River through gardens densely covered with trees and filled with vibrations of chirping birds. Kalani darshayam chestam prekshaniyam vrajaukasam rudam ivahasam mudra balasimha balokana. When the Lord displayed his activities just suitable for childhood, he was visible in the presence of Vrindavan. Sometimes he would cry and sometimes laugh, just like a child. While doing so, he would appear like a lion cub. Sa eva godanam lakshmya niketam sita govrisham charayana nugam govan rana venu rari ramat. While herding the very beautiful bulls, the Lord, who was the reservoir of all opulence and fortune, used to blow his flute, and thus he enlivened his faithful followers, the cowherd bulls. Prayuttam bhoja rajena Maina kamarupina nilayam yadudatams balakridana kam iva. The great wizards who were able to assume any form were engaged by the king of Bhoja, Kamsa, to kill Krishna. But in the course of his pastimes, the Lord killed them as easily as a child breaks balls. Vipanam vishyavanena nigriya bhujagadipam udapya kaya yagavas taktoyam prakritistitam. The inhabitants of Vrindavan were perplexed by great difficulties as a certain portion of the Yamuna was poisoned by the chief of the reptiles, Kaliya. The Lord chastised the snake king within the water and drove him away. And after coming out of the river, he caused the cows to drink the water and proved that the water was again in its natural state. Ayajayad gosavena goparajam dviyottamai vitasya chorubarasya chiriksham sadrayam vibhu. The Supreme Lord Krishna desired to utilize the opulent financial strength of Maharaj Nanda for worship of the cows. Also, he wanted to give a lesson to Indra, the king of heaven. Thus, he advised his father to perform worship of Go,
or the pasturing land and the cows with the help of learned Brahmins.
Prasatindre Vrajakopad Bhagnamane Tivit Hapla Gotra Lila Tapatrena Trato Bhagna Nuginata. O sober Vidura, King Indra, whose honor having been insulted, poured water incessantly on Vrindavana, and thus the inhabitants of Vraja, the land of cows, were greatly distressed. But the compassionate Lord Krishna saved them from danger with his pastime umbrella, the Govardhan Hill.
Sarachasi karayanristam manayam rajani mukam gayam kala padam reme srinamandala mandana.
In the third season of the year, the Lord enjoyed as the central beauty of the assembly of women by attracting them with his pleasing songs in an autumn night brightened by moonshine. All right. So this is about pastimes. And you had two home fun assignments for due today. So the first one was on a personal level that I asked everyone to pick some activity that increased their meditation on Krishna. So how many of you actually did that? Okay. How did it go? Everybody satisfied with that?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. The next thing that I asked you to do was to pick one of the pastimes that are here, that you did some more research about, because here they're mentioned briefly. So to pick one of the pastimes, and we will be doing an exercise on that today. And it will be the same for tomorrow's class. So for the verses for tomorrow, also pick one of those pastimes and find out some more information about the pastime. Okay. So first we're just going to go through the themes of the chapter, and then we're going to do an exercise on the Leela. So this particular section of the chapter, the theme that I picked to focus on is that both the goal and the process of Krishna consciousness is our full awakening of love for the Lord. The process is to awaken love, and the goal is that full awakening of love. So the various areas that I would like to look at in this chapter are that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and under here we have those who understand. Partially understand. And I really felt that section was just fascinating about those who partially understand and partially love and those who completely love. It was just not only fascinating, but very encouraging. Okay, and those who don't understand. And the next main area was Krishna's spiritual joy. That he takes joy by being subordinate. Accepts the least contribution from them and gives the most.
To be subordinate to his devotees.
Yes, Krishna finds joy in being subordinate to his devotees, and he finds joy by accepting the least contribution from people and giving them the most. Okay. And sort of a sub-point here, say Jude 1, that degrees of love result in, which is compared to the partially understand, result in degrees of achievement. Right. And then the third is how we achieve Krishna. So by always thinking of him, and again we have the same point that degrees of love result in degrees of achievement. Degrees of love result in degrees of achievement. Association of devotees. And a mood of service. So obviously this one are all related. Okay. What I'd like you to do, actually we should have this up somewhere.
One moment, the last sentence.
It's not going away.
A, B, C, D.
It's not going away. Okay, can somebody put this up, please? It's not going away. Wait a minute. Patience. It's not going away. Don't worry. We're just moving to another part of the room. All right. Let's list the leelas. That's not very good. We need two more. Yes. Okay. There we go. All right. Excellent. Okay. Can someone tell me what are the leelas mentioned in this chapter?
Putana.
Another one.
Kaliya.
Another one.
Krishna's birth.
Krishna is a subordinate to before you, Ugrasena. And Rasina. And Devaki Vasudev.
What about them?
Vasudev joining Krishna to remember him. The beginning is birth and decay.
Vasudev carrying Krishna across Yamuna.
And battlefield of Kurukshetra.
Okay. Kurukshetra battlefield.
Go through there.
And Lord is.
Worship of the cows.
Three kinds of trees.
Krishna is Lord of the trees.
Lila.
Creator.
Lila.
Rukmini and Krishna.
Is Rukmini? That's the next chapter. Govardhan. Puja. What other Leelas are mentioned here?
You say that great vijars means to include all the demons Krishna killed.
Killing the demons. This is in Vrindavan.
Kamsa?
Is that mentioned in this chapter?
Kamsa.
Kamsa, killing Kamsa? Is that mentioned here?
No. Kamsa is an extra chapter.
Although it's interesting that we do have Shishupal and Battle Group Kshetra here, although. Okay. Krishna appears at Brahma's request.
Childhood plasma.
Specifically what?
He's crying and.
And laughing,
yeah.
Childhood crying and laughing. Any other?
Herding the cows and bulls.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because the next chapter is pastimes out of Vrindavan, but we actually have some of those here.
Govardhan. Oh, sorry. It's not
he blows his flute and he enlivens.
Playing flute, okay. Got that. Any others?
Killing of Kamsa.
No, it's next.
And I don't think is Kamsa here or not?
He's next. He's next.
It is in here. Okay. Oops. I'm sorry, I was also thinking that killing Kamsa was here. Is killing Kamsa here or not?
No.
No.
It's not. Okay. So, what I'd like you to do is match these. So, which Leelas are going to go in which of these categories? Which of these Leelas are going to go in which of these categories?
I don't understand that Leela appears at Brahma's request. What's that?
Krishna appeared on the earth planet at the request of Lord Brahma.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you can just do like 1A, 1B, 1C, 2A, 2B, and see if you can match the Leelas to that. And you can do it on your own or you can do it with a friend. About how Krishna gets spiritual joy by being subordinate to his devotees. Which of these pastimes will fit with that? If we're going to talk about how we achieve Krishna by always thinking of him, which of these pastimes will fit with that?
Okay.
And yeah, some may fit in more than one place. The residents who follow Krishna for Govardhan Puja. Yeah. They understand that Krishna is Lord, okay? What about those who partially understand what Leela is there?
Like Puttanashi.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent. What do you have for partially understood?
Shishupal.
Excellent. And what about those who don't understand?
Indra. Oh, no.
No, he's in the partial. He's in the partial. Huh?
Danuka.
Danuka, okay, good.
Yeah.
Anyone else who doesn't understand?
The cows?
The cows? Actually, they understand.
Yeah.
Prabhupada says that Krishna embraces Radharani and he embraces the cows.
But do they know he is there?
Yes, they do.
child crying and laughing?
No. It's Krishna.
No, because those who don't understand is more like the demons. Oh.
Killing demons.
Killing the demons. Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. So let's look at this category a little bit before we go on here. So it's very interesting that Srila Prabhupada talks about that if one doesn't understand that Krishna is God, one is filled with fear. And if one does understand that Krishna is God, he's filled with joy upon meeting Krishna. And it's interesting also that we didn't write this as a lila because it's sort of implied in text 21. But if you look at text 21 for a minute, it's quite interesting, and the Acharya's comment on 21. That the eternal maintainers of the creation offered him the paraphernalia of worship. And Jiva Goswami, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, says that these eternal masters are, and Prabhupada says in his purport, Karan Daksha Vishnu, Garbha Daksha Vishnu, and Shira Daksha Vishnu. So this verse is not talking about the demigods because they are not the eternal masters of the creation. So we could have included that as one of the leelas. And what leela do we have where the Vishnus respect Krishna? Well, no. See, that's Brahma's a demigod. Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up. It means I didn't make this point clear. So when we say the eternal, when it says here in the verse, the eternal masters, it does not mean Brahma and Shiva and Indra. I mean, maybe Shiva, because they're not eternal. It means Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, Shira Dakshaya Vishnu. Yes?
When one Brahmana comes and says, my children are...
Excellent, yes.
What?
Mahavishnu.
Yes, and when Arjuna and Krishna go beyond the universe to rescue the Brahmana's dead sons from Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu offers respects to Krishna. So, text 21 is indirectly talking about that pastime. So here, knowing that Krishna is the Supreme Lord is demonstrated by that pastime of Mahavishnu offering respects to Krishna, and that's what's indicated indirectly in text 21 by the use of the word eternal. And as I said, that the Acharya's comment on that, and Prabhupada picks that up in his purport. Okay. This is also demonstrated in general, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord in a general way, is illustrated that with the fact that he kills the demons like toys. Right? With such a charming purport where Prabhupada talked about how children play with animals, toy animals, and while playing with toy animals, they break their toys. And I was thinking, I have one grandson who is very, very careful not to break his toys. So one of my grandchildren is very, I guess he's 6 or 7. How old is he? 6, 7? Nathaniel? Maybe 6 or 7. So he's my son and daughter-in-law tell me he's very, very careful he doesn't break any of his toys. But I'm sure sometimes they get broken. So when children play with toys, they sometimes break their toys, sometimes by accident and sometimes not by accident. Have you seen children? They pull the head off the doll, right? So Krishna is God because he was able to kill these great wizards. Prabhupada translates it as wizards. And just as a very side note, when I'm giving classes that include non-devotees in the audience, I often favor the word wizards rather than demons. Because I think when you talk to most people in the world today and you talk about demons, they talk about wizards, they kind of get that. You know, okay, what's a wizard?
But if you talk about demons, they're like, what? Huh? What's a demon? So he killed all these wizards who were shape-shifting wizards. There's Bhagavatam talks about Pramitas, that Pramitas can shift their shape. Of course, the demigods can also change their form. When Bali Maharaj came, the demigods all took different forms and ran away. But these are shape-shifting demons. They can appear like donkeys, they can appear like huge snakes, right? All these different forms. So he shows he's God, that he kills these demons, he kills these wizards as if they were toys, and also particularly lifting Govardhan Hill. All right, who partially understands that Lord Krishna is the Lord. It was interesting, I found it just absolutely fascinating, that Prabhupada talks about those killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, that those who were killed without understanding Krishna was the Lord entered where? Where did they go? Nope. Ramajyoti. Ramajyoti. And those who, when they saw the Lord, they got a little bit of what?
Attraction.
Attraction. They felt a little bit of love. A little bit of love. They went to Vaikuntha. That made me very happy. I mean, I'm hoping to go to Goloka Vrindavan, not Vaikuntha, but it still, it made me really, really happy. I thought, wow. They saw Krishna and felt just a little bit of love, and that was enough to go to Vaikuntha. And those who saw him who were inimical, they saw him but they had hatred, but they were killed by him, they went to Brahmajyoti. Okay, so then Prabhupada talks in verse 22. Let's go on here. Those who partially understand, we already talked about that, yes? Those who don't understand. Okay. So those who cannot understand, in text 22, Prabhupada said, the atheists pick up slogans from the Shastra, but they don't understand the Lord. And I also found that really interesting. Because people do that, don't they? They go through the Shastra and they find some statement that they like as a slogan. And then they use that. And they're basically using the Lord for some other purpose. Some mundane moral purpose or some political purpose or something like that. And they're not trying to understand the Lord on his own terms, but they pick up a slogan. Okay. So let's go to the next one. How Krishna finds spiritual joy. So, being subordinate to his devotees, which of these leelas fit with that?
Subordinate to Ugrasen.
Okay, giving, asking Ugrasen, is this okay? Yes? What? Vasudev carrying Krishna. Good. Tarni? Okay. Govardhan Puja, where Krishna says, Daddy, what are you doing? Tell me more about it. Okay. Yeah?
Krishna cannot repay the gopis.
Oh, in the Rasa Lila, Krishna is saying, I cannot repay the gopis. Good.
Kurukshetra battlefield.
Where Krishna drives Arjuna. Whoa, excellent. What did you come up with?
His childhood when he was laughing and crying.
Childhood laughing and crying, yes.
What?
Worship of the cows. Okay, very nice.
Not taking footsteps, not taking umbrella for them.
Wow. That Krishna's becoming subordinate to the cows. Not wearing shoes and umbrella because the cows don't have shoes and umbrella.
Uttana.
No.
Because.
Well, in a sense, he became like her baby.
Yeah,
in a sense. Yeah. Could say that. Could say that.
It gave him joy?
Yes, of course it gave Krishna joy to kill Putin. Everything Krishna does gives him joy.
Okay.
Didn't we also have, I don't know if we put it up there, but about the cowherd boys? I don't think we have it up there, right? Playing with the cowherd boys.
Playing flute
and lighting the boys. But it's mentioning playing with the cowherd boys on the Yamuna. So Krishna becomes subordinate to the cowherd boys. Right? Yeah, we definitely in this section there's something about Krishna enlivening the cowherd boys.
Yeah.
Also, we didn't put it up here, but leaving Mathura for Dwarka and building a fort. That was also mentioned in this chapter, in these verses. Okay. So, for this one, especially with Devaki and Vasudev, when Krishna and Balaram tell Devaki and Vasudev, we're really sorry that we couldn't serve you, but we were scared of Kamsa. So the Acharyas ask, if Krishna is God, how can it be true that he's afraid of Kamsa? And if it's false, how can God speak something false? So if God is speaking something false, that's not right. And if he's speaking something true, how can that be true that he's afraid of Kamsa? So the answer is they actually felt like that in order to make their father happy. And what is the example Prabhupada gives in this purport? Anybody remember? No, the father and son are fighting, play fighting.
Oh, yeah.
And the father lies down, defeated by the son, just to make the son happy. Mm-hmm. Right? When parents play games with their children, they let their children win sometimes. It wouldn't be any fun if the parents always won, right? Okay. So sometimes the child gets to win. And that's the happiness of the parent. The parent is happy. So Krishna is also happy by letting his parents feel that he's afraid of Kamsa. And it says specifically in text 26 that he feels joy at being a subordinate. Okay, the next one. Accepting the least contribution from someone and giving them the most, which is again related to degrees. Yes?
Like Putana. She just gave a little meat, but it was poison, yeah. And she became a nurse.
So Putana's prime example. What else?
Shishupal.
Yes.
And killing demons in
general. Killing the demons in general, yes.
Never playing flute is enlivening devotees. Devotees happy.
Making devotees happy, good. What else?
Kurukshetra.
They just look at him and they get liberation. That's not giving very much. Right? I mean, they just look at him and they think, oh, he's so nice. Pff, Vaikuntha.
Kaliya.
Kaliya just gave him a dancing platform. And the Acharyas say that Kaliya was so exhausted that he could just summarize the prayers of his wives. Because if you read his wives' prayers and his prayers are a summary. And the Acharyas say he was just so completely exhausted. It'd be pretty exhausting fighting with God, right?
And Vasudev carried Krishna across Yamuna and he
falls down. Oh, he falls down, yes. Okay, very nice. And just giving mercy to inimical persons like Shishupal and Vaikuntha to those who are neutral. Verse 23 about Putana. Who can tell me something about verse 23 about Putana in relationship to Chaitanya Lila? Yes?
This is the story of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Gadadapandi, he could not believe such an enjoyer doing this enjoyment in his house. But when Gokunda chanted that verse, you know, Pundarik, he just was transferred into trance, he broke everything, he rolled on the floor, total ecstasy, and then Gadadapandi could understand how to be the great Vaishnava and Lord Chaitanya encouraged him to take Diksha from him.
Very nice. And of course, that particular Leela demonstrates that we should not be judging people externally. Very dangerous. Somebody can look very renounced and very austere and be a demon, and they can look like they're an opulent sense enjoyer and be a great devotee. It's not on externals. I've read about how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was pointed out some devotee who was chanting 150 rounds a day living in the Dham, and all the devotees were glorifying him, and Bhaktisiddhanta said, oh, he's just a beginner. Mm-hmm. So we should be very, very careful how we judge persons. And here, what is the real test? What was the real test of Pundarik?
He relished that verse.
He relished.
He loved Krishna.
He loved Krishna. That's the point. That's the point. Hey, you just love Krishna a little tiny bit for a moment, and you go to Vaikuntha.
Wow.
That's the point. You know, Putana did feel some motherly affection for Krishna. She had actually felt some motherly affection from even a previous life. She felt a mix of hatred and motherly affection. It was kind of a strange mix. I think she was Bali's sister, yes? So she was very angry because Vamandev had taken her brother's wealth, but she also felt some motherly... When she first saw Vamandev, she felt motherly affection. And when Vamandev cheated Bali, she felt very angry. She wanted to kill him. So she felt both. Have we ever felt mixed feelings for somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. I've definitely felt mixed feelings. That's pretty extreme. Those are sort of the two opposite extremes. Right? We tend to think of the mother with the little breastfed baby as being the most protective relationship. Yes? Isn't it? That is the epitome of a protective relationship. And then wanting to kill somebody is exactly the opposite. But she felt these exact opposite feelings, and Krishna took the good side. So Pundarik Vijayanidhi was so, wow, look at Krishna. So that's the test. How much somebody is attracted to Krishna, how much they love Krishna. And of course, if you love Krishna, that will generally be demonstrated in following the principles of bhakti in your life. If you say, I love Krishna, but I spend all my time at the discotheque, then we have to wonder how much you love Krishna. Right? If some man says, well, I love my wife, but he never supports her, he never sees her, never spends any time with her, how much does he love her? You understand? So if someone says, I love you, but they're not there for you, how much love is that? But still, the point is that there has to be attraction. By the way, don't ask me what the other ones are, because I didn't make a note of them, and I don't remember. But Sukadeva Goswami, the Acharyas say, was particularly attracted by three verses from the Bhagavatam, and that's what made him come back after he ran away from home, and this is one of them. I don't remember what the other ones are. Do you know what the other ones are?
Other one is Varaha. Varaha Rupam.
Oh, Varaha Rupam. What's the other one? Do you know what the third one is? There's three. As I said, I was making notes on this in airports. Somehow I didn't make a note of that.
It says that Varaha is an expansion of Balaram.
Okay, well, all incarnations are expansion of Balaram.
Oh.
Because the first expansion is Balaram, and all the other incarnations expand from Balaram. But they're also all expansions of Krishna, because Balaram is an expansion from Krishna.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Or you could say they're expansions from Sira Dakshai Vishnu. Depends how far back you want to go. Could I have some more water? Okay, also in this category is Uddhava's feeling. Uddhava compares himself to the demons. What does he say?
Oh, yeah. Because the demons already attained the destination, and he's still...
He's still here.
In separation.
So he says, you know, these demons, they meditated on Krishna, and they're already liberated, and here I am. separated from Krishna, so I'm lower. You know, materially, we're always calculating how we're better than everybody, isn't it? Right? Everyone that we see, we find some way to think of how we're better than there. And spiritually, someone like Uddhava is always seeing that how others are better than he is. Another point here about degrees of love resulting in degrees of achievement in terms of Krishna accepting a little and giving a lot. Jiva Goswami says that Krishna generally takes the sides of the demigods, but when they offend Brihaspati, Krishna does not take their side. So when the demons please Sukracharya, then he's inclined towards them. So even if you're a demon, if you please the brahmanas, Krishna will take your side. And he won't take the side of the demigods when they displease
the brahmanas. Sorry, Matt, is it only particularly to brahmanas or is it to the spiritual master?
Brahmanas, guru, Vaishnavas. But just brahmanas, they don't have to be devotees. Sukracharya wasn't a devotee.
Oh. Sukracharya
is a spiritual master to the leader. Yeah, but it's brahmanas. It doesn't have to be your specific guru.
But if it is a devotee, he...
More so.
More so, yeah.
Why is... I mean, this is a totally different off-track topic. Why is Krishna so into respect for the brahmanas? Why does Krishna super reward small devotion to brahmanas, which is... part of this, accepting the least and giving the most.
Because it sets example for society how we should respect the teachers and the brahmanas because they are leading society.
Brahmanas are treated such the first level.
In sattvagun?
Yeah, so brahmanas are treated at first level, not even as brahmanas. So some transcendence is reflected. Some transcendence is reflected to Brahmanas.
And they become the advisors of the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Sudras.
Probably the people, Brahmanas, know better, not Krishna.
Yeah, so they're going to be guiding people to come to Krishna. Do you think that Brahmanas generally are going to assert themselves in society?
No.
They're not. They're going to generally take a humble background position if left to themselves. So, knowing that you're going to get blessings from God if you respect the brahmanas and you're going to be in trouble with God if you disrespect the brahmanas is going to push people to respect brahmanas who otherwise are not asking for respect. Kshatriyas, do they ask for respect?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. What about Vaishyas? Do they ask for respect?
Yes.
Oh, yes. What about Shudras?
Also.
Many. Not all, but many. But Brahmanas don't, generally. Sometimes.
But in a, in a way, because they are the upholder of religious principles. So through the principle, they also demand some respect.
Some, but not in the same way. They're likely just to leave, like Brihaspati did. Of course, if we go back before Kali Yuga, the brahmanas also had a lot of powers. In fact, the brahmanas' powers were higher than the kshatriyas' powers, as Viswamrita found out when he challenged Vasistha. So the brahmanas had subtle powers that even the kshatriyas didn't have. You know, if a brahmana was angry at you and said, "Become a frog," you became a frog. And we have, of course, these stories in all the fairy tales of the world. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Traveling renounced wizards with magic sticks. Right? Mm-hmm. So this was the idea. Vasistha had his staff. He had his magic staff. And he was able to create subtle weapons to destroy Vishwamitra and his army. So this was another motive. Of course, nowadays, brahmanas don't have these kind of powers at all. But because of the misuse of them, Which is one reason definitely why Brahmanas are not so respected in society anymore. But you have those two things. You have that Brahmanas actually had powers, or you were a little scared of them. Even the kings were a little scared of them. And you also had that people were trained from childhood that, you know, don't mess with the Brahmanas. You're going to get cursed by God. And do good things to Brahmanas and you're going to get blessed by God. And in this way, the religious teachers, the spiritual guides of society were protected and were able to guide the society. Okay. So, going on to how we achieve Krishna, which of these pastimes relates to always thinking of him?
Shishupa.
Shishupa. Excellent. Any others?
Rasalila.
Kamsa. Rasalila, yes. Cowherd boys, also, which we didn't write on the list. But the cowherd boys, Prabhupada writes about in the purport, how they're doing pious activities for many, many lifetimes.
Gopis.
Gopis, yes. Any others?
Govardhan Lila.
Govardhan Lila. Okay, very nice.
The parents of Krishna, Vasudeva and Devaki.
Imagine how Vasudeva and Devaki were always thinking of Krishna once Krishna went to Vrindavan. Oh, wow.
Nanda and
Yashoda.
Vasudeva carried Krishna.
And when the Jamuna captured him, and grabbed him, and Vasudeva was in so much anxiety. Yes.
The cows.
The cows were always thinking of Krishna. Yes. Very nice. Okay, then again, going to this recurring theme of degrees of love resulting in degrees of achievement. And how do the demons achieve liberation? They're always thinking of Krishna. Right?
But they get only Brahmajyoti.
That's right.
So the degree is not the same. The gopis, you know, they achieve the highest.
Yes.
And even Lord Chaitanya has to come to repay the debt.
To repay the debt to the gopis. So we see that although Shishupal is always thinking of Krishna, and Vasudeva and Devaki are always thinking of Krishna, the achievement that they get is different depending on their degrees of love and attachment. So we can analyze all these thinking of Krishna into degrees of love and attachment. Okay, then association of devotees. There was a particular, really far out section in this chapter on the association of devotees. We'll just go over down, okay. Go over down, Leela. Yes, very much.
Rasalila.
Rasalila, definitely. And in fact, with Rasalila, the Sadhana Siddha Gopis become perfect by the association of the Nitya Siddha Gopis. What other pastimes demonstrate this?
Govardhan Puja.
Yeah, we mentioned Govardhan Puja. Excellent.
Earning cows and bulls?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Childhood crying.
Oh, the childhood crying and laughing, yes.
Kurukshetra battle?
Kurukshetra battle, yes. So what amazing, astonishing, incredible, far-out thing does Srila Prabhupada say in a purport about the Association of Devotees and the Kurukshetra battle? It's text 20. See if you can find it.
Yes, it's from Krishna Prabhupada said in text 28 about Vrindavan and Mithura.
Okay, also that one.
They were purified by Arjuna's arrows.
They were purified by Arjuna's arrows. Isn't that far out? So here are these people who are inimical to Krishna. They don't really have any relationship with Krishna at all. Nothing. And they show up at the battlefield. They get purified by Arjuna's arrows. And after being purified by... That's a pretty heavy-duty way to go to Vaikuntha, huh? Pretty fast way, though. I mean, it's fast.
And they appreciate Krishna.
It's kind of a strange sadhana.
Yes,
We're not going to advertise this as our sadhana bhakti process, but it was very quick. They're just facing Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot. Arjuna shoots them. The touch of the arrow from Arjuna purifies them. Because of that purification, when they see the Lord, they say, wow. And then they die. And they go to Vaikuntha. What do you say?
Very extreme preaching technique.
Very extreme preaching technique, yes. Do not try this at home. Yes.
I have experience with some guru, even though they suffered so much. When I spoke with them, they say it was the best time. And now they have so much attachment to Krishna. They love to come to Vrindavan.
Interesting. Yes. All right.
So we can see that even though they suffered, because they were in the association of devotees, under Prabhupada's guidance still, their attachment is there for the holy dharma and for Krishna. So it's purifying in one way or another.
One way or another, though we shouldn't do that intentionally. Were you saying something about text 28?
Yeah, I was saying something. That's true. That's what Srila Prabhupada said. He said this is Prabhupada, especially the followers of Chaitanya Priyas Guru Vaishnava. And because the land is identical, devoted by Buddha Vidura, visit this place.
I'm not seeing that in 28 somehow.
Sorry.
Is it a different verse? Because I don't see it in 28.
Sorry, yeah. 27. Oh,
27, okay.
Yes,
okay. Okay, so here, this is interesting. This is not talking so much about association with devotees, but association with the Dham. Which you could say is a devotee. You could say that all the dust of Vrindavan is a devotee and all the trees. Is he in ecstasy or is he sick? Can you help him? I think he's in a trance of ecstasy.
Let me start.
Are you okay? You want to go home and go to sleep? Or are you just here dreaming about the class?
No, I'll observe something I mentioned.
Okay, a little something here and there. So yeah, we didn't mention that, but association with the holy Dham, which can also be said to be a devotee. The Dham itself is a devotee. Very nice. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay. Then another one there is Krishna appearing at the request of Lord Brahma. By the request of Lord Brahma, request of Bhumi Devi. So that pastime takes place. Okay, mood of service, that we get to know Krishna through a mood of service.
Kurukshetra?
Huh? Vasudev carrying Krishna, very nice.
Raslila,
very nice.
Govardhan Puja.
And Prabhupada talks about Govardhan Puja. He says that the Vaishnava Vaishas should use their money to to serve the cows in the land, to protect the cows in the land.
And mood of service, also Krishna is in total mood of service, you know, trying to enliven everyone.
Yes, yes. We also see this mood of service from Krishna to his devotees. And especially if we look at verse 32... Now, I found this purport especially interesting. So I like, he was here in this purport, but it was another place here in this section also. Like somehow or another I can't find it. Where Prabhupada says that, like Krishna served his father, that everyone should also serve their father. And I can't seem to find the exact report. Oh, yeah, here it is. It's in text 17.
Page 17.
Yeah. This mood of service. And it says here, such instruction to the Lord, by the Lord to the world is quite appropriate. Even if one is a supreme Lord, one must serve his parents. A son is indebted to his parents in so many ways, and it's the duty of the son to serve his parents, however great the son may be. Now, this is the next thing that really amazed me. Indirectly, Krishna wanted to teach the atheists who do not accept the supreme fatherhood of God, and they may learn from this action how much the supreme father has to be respected. So, for the atheists, they're told, you have to respect your father. Ordinary materialistic people are taught to respect their father. It's interesting that Srila Prabhupada grew up in a society where people respected their father a lot. And Prabhupada defined crazy people or ghostly haunted people as people who will criticize their father and insult their father. That was a symptom of somebody who was mentally ill or ghostly haunted. And nowadays, people insult their father all the time. And the concept that you'd have to be mentally ill in order to insult your father doesn't really fit with modern society in most parts of the world. But it used to be, not that long ago, that people were really heavily, strongly trained to respect their father. And this is, Krishna's even respecting his own father as an instruction to the atheist, respect your father. And if you're trained to respect your material father, eventually you may wake up and say, hey, what about the Supreme Father? That's the concept. Or it's similar to, I think, when Prabhupada says we should chant like a child crying for its mother. And I wrote an article in BTG many years ago about divorce and how that nowadays children grow up without a mother. You know, or there's bad mothers. And if you say to someone, cry to the Lord like a child for its mother, they don't know what you're talking about. And similarly, when we say to people, you know, the Lord is your supreme father, you should respect the Lord like your father. People are growing up without fathers. They don't know what that means. Yes?
When you say respect the father, does it mean awe, benevolence, and obedience, or something else?
Well, it probably depends on who your father is and how he acts. It's a personal thing. We're persons. It's not something.
But even from non-devotees, you know, Prabhupada asked Kargamuni and Brahmananda to offer Dandava to their mother.
To their mother, yes.
Prahlada Maharaj, he never stopped being feeling respect and,
yes,
and love to his father.
And even though his father tried to kill him.
Yes. Never.
But he didn't mind when Nisingadev killed his father. He didn't defend his father or complain when Nisingadev killed him, although he still had affection for his father. So, therefore, I say it's individual. You know, if your father's abusive, then you probably need to deal with him a little differently.
Still, you need to respect him.
Still, you have some respect. Actually, that situation causes a lot of mental problems for people whose parents abuse them. because they have this strange mix. Like we were saying, Putana had this mix of feelings toward Krishna, so you end up having this mix. You know, I read about kids, you know, like whose father raped them for years and years and years and years, and still when he died, they still felt sad. You know, and it was difficult for them. How do I deal with the fact that I have, you know, a severely abusive father, and yet I still have affection for my father? So. That's a mood of service, that Krishna has a mood of service for his parents. He teaches the world to have a mood of service for their parents. He teaches, that's in text 17. And then also that, going to text 32, that Krishna also teaches a mood of service in our occupation. And this is something we could talk about at length, which we're not going to, but we could, just very briefly, that whatever our nature is, whatever our livelihood is, should be done in a mood of service and protection, not in a mood of exploitation. And that's one of the main principles of Varnashram. Varnashram is not really so much about, are you a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra? That's the least important part of Varnashram. The most important part, one of the most important parts of Varnashram is, whatever we're doing, we should do in a mood of protection and not exploitation. Whatever is giving us joy, whatever is giving us our income, we should protect that. Even if you're selfish, you're going to do that. You know, if you're making money from land, you should protect the land. There's that story of the goose who laid the golden egg, right, and they cut off the head. If a goose is laying golden eggs, you feed the goose. You don't cut off its head. So these farmers that are getting crops and destroying the land, or they're getting milk and they're killing the cows, you know, you don't do that. You're making money from your company, but you're destroying the economy just to make money right now. Or you get money from being a teacher, but so you distort truth, you fudge your data just so you can get a, you know, publication. So that you're basically biting the hand that feeds you, we call it. You're cutting off the head of the goose that lays the golden egg. So even from a selfish perspective, we should protect the source of our own wealth. Right? Right? Yes?
No. You have to protect. Everybody has some people who cannot protect. Yet what is to be some people then who protect?
No, we all have something that we protect, is my point. If you make money from the arts, you protect the arts. If you make money from the cows, you protect the cows. If you get money from knowledge, you protect knowledge. However you're getting your income, you should protect that. That's your job to protect it, not somebody else's. If you're getting your income from knowledge, you protect knowledge. If you're getting your income from tenants or citizens, you protect the citizens. If you're getting money from the land, you protect the land. You're getting money from cows, you protect the cows. Whatever you're getting your income from, you protect that source of income. That's one of the main principles of Varnashram. That becomes your area of protection. Just like Prabhupada says here, that the Vaishyas protect the animals and the Kshatriyas protect the people. The Kshatriyas are getting their income from the taxes from the people. The Vaishyas are getting their income from the animals or from the land. And whatever gives us joy, because we're supposed to have a source of income that's also a source of joy. That's another principle of Varnashram, that my income and my nature are the same. I'm getting my income from knowledge because I love knowledge. I'm getting my income from cows because I love cows. I'm getting my income from dancing because I love dancing. You understand? Whatever gives us joy, we should take care of it. If something gives us joy, we should protect it. If something gives us income, we should protect it. So this is one of the main principles of Varnashram, regardless of how you, what label you put on yourself. Then also, look at this last line in text 32. Can we all read this all together? Last line of the purport of text 32. Can everybody go there? Let's read it. Well, let's everybody find it. You know there's a lot faster way to find things than doing that. You know that, right? In your Kindle?
I don't.
You don't know? Touch the top. No. Yeah, okay. All right. Then you should have a way of scrolling through at the bottom, you know? You don't have any scroll?
This arrow.
Yeah, touch that. There you go. Now you can scroll. No, no, no. Yeah, there. There you go. That's much faster. You can just even touch the arrow and just hold it down. Look at that.
Wow, such an advancement.
Yeah. Now, if you close that box, you go back to the place where you started. And if you touch on the box, you can jump to another page. So you don't have to...
Is the last...
line of purport of text 32. Everybody there?
Yeah.
Last sentence.
No. Yes.
Okay, everybody ready? If you touch that box, it opened up that page. If you touch that middle box, it will open up the page. There you go. And if you didn't touch the box, if you just closed the box, then you would go back to where you were when you first opened the box. It's kind of like you're doing this. So you can hold the book and you can flip through and go back to your place, or you can flip through and be at that. Okay, let's read this together. The perfection of one's occupational duty, whether in the sphere of duty to oneself, one's community, or one's nation, is judged by the degree to which the Lord is satisfied. Well, well. Is that simple?
Wow.
Even in one's duty to oneself. So what do we do in duty to ourself? What?
Sleeping.
What else? Not in class, though, please. What else?
Maintenance.
Well, can you be specific?
Earning money.
Earning money for yourself. What else?
Eating.
Sleeping.
Study.
Devotional sadhana.
Okay. What else?
Emotional life.
What else?
Psychological.
Social. Financial. Our social one. Financial.
Taking care of the family.
Taking care of our family. Washing our clothes.
Taking care of the car.
Brushing our teeth.
Yeah.
Going to the doctor. Cleaning our shoes. I was visiting one friend, and while I was talking to her, there was this guy working in the bathroom the whole time. I thought he was repairing something in the bathroom. He was actually cleaning all the shoes. When I finished talking to her, all of her shoes were there clean. They all looked like they were new shoes. Mm-hmm. Cleaning your shoes. Whatever we do, the principle should be how the Lord is pleased. This means that everything I do should be done to
please
the Lord. Mm-hmm. All right, how am I going to clean my shoes to please the Lord? How am I going to brush my teeth to please the Lord?
But like his devotees to represent him in a nicely dressed.
Okay, I like that. How else?
Prabhupada asked us to be gentlemen and gentlemen. So we have.
Okay, very nice. Any other?
By thinking about the Lord.
By thinking about him. Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
Finding balance in your duty to remain peaceful.
Okay.
Setting an example for others.
Okay.
And how other people can relate to us.
Okay.
Like if we clean the car, it's for people to see that the devotees are clean, nice, it's a touching way of working.
Okay.
How do we serve our spiritual master?
To honor what Krishna is giving us.
To honor what Krishna is giving us. It's Krishna's car, right?
Yes.
Even our teeth. Are they really our teeth?
No. Krishna's temple, the body.
It's Krishna's temple. That's interesting, isn't it? Prabhupada says when you clean the temple, you clean your heart. So our body's Krishna's temple. Now if we're thinking, you know, I'm cleaning my body so I'll be very comfortable. It's uncomfortable to have a dirty body. Yes, we've all experienced that. If we're cleaning our body just to make ourselves feel more comfortable, or if we're cleaning our body just to be more attractive, so other people will look at us and say, oh, how attractive you are. So that's Maya. But if we're cleaning our body because it's Krishna's temple, keeping the body healthy because it's Krishna's temple, then what we're, everything we're doing is perfect. It may look the same. Two people are brushing their teeth. One person is doing it so that when they walk down the street and smile, all the women will faint, like in the toothpaste commercials. Right? You guys have all seen that? Somebody brushes it. They just brush their teeth and they smile, and they walk down the street and all the women just look at their smile and faint. I doubt if that ever actually happens unless you're Krishna.
Sometimes I have this doubt.
I thought you were going to tell me sometimes you brush your teeth and all the women faint on the sidewalk.
This doubt is always there. I don't know. Maybe it's part of it anyway, but sometimes this doubt is there. It's
okay.
Occupational duty. This occupational duty has to do with Dharma. And implementation Dharma, or if Dharma is part of Varnashram system, because Dharma is part of duty, and duty beats Dharma, is it anywhere we can subtract the social order away from Dharma?
Anywhere we can.
Is there any way one can subtract social order away from Dharma?
I'm losing of the verb there, I'm
subtract.
Not hearing.
Subtract.
Subtract?
Yeah, you know, subtract. Social, you know, all the way from Dharma. That is, you're talking about the Brahmana, Satya, Vaishyas.
Can you subtract that from Dharma?
Yeah.
Well, yes and no, because Prabhupada will say things like, in modern day, you can say, you know, are you an electrician, are you a builder? Or... So Srila Prabhupada was fine with using terms other than Brahman, Satya, Vaishya, Sudra, if that's what you mean. But I think you have to get to the essence of the Dharma of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, rather than the details. Because good luck doing the details in 2016.
Yes, there's some implications there. One of the implications I see, if we deny, you know, detain, then it becomes a political thing. A political thing in the sense that people looking up to a sovereign leader.
People who can...
People looking into a sovereign leader.
I'm missing some of your words.
People who begin to look onto a sovereign leader.
A sovereign.
A sovereign leader, an absolute authority.
Yeah.
An absolute authority.
An absolute authority, okay.
We should be, you know, deistic, you know, to mention what is just and what is right.
Okay.
So then, in that sense, there will be so many contradictions.
Not really. So you're saying if there's atheistic rulers who have absolute rule, and they say what's wrong and what's right, that's going to be a contradiction to Dharma.
No, they see us as an absolute.
Okay, let me try.
Oh, they
think this is my problem.
Okay,
and I think if I say it, it can be the result. My problem is not because if we look at Srila Prabhupada's purpose,
yes,
there's not too much emphasis on the, you know, the categories of those who are to be in Varnashram. It mentions often pure devotees.
Okay.
Now, from, you know, different sources, we can see that Varnashram Dharma has to do with these four categories of people. Who actually have to, you know, be upholder of this system.
Okay.
So if we go by, you know, having a pure devotee as, in quote, the head of that community,
okay,
then it will, you know, it will be a kind of ascribing an absolute authority to that person.
If we have a pure devotee who's in the position, we'll be ascribing absolute authority to that person. I'm not sure I follow then what is the problem. So is your doubt that we should never ascribe absolute authority to anybody?
No,
Is your doubt that we should not ascribe absolute authority to anybody?
Yeah, I have it. This is my confusion. My confusion is that if we said, we cannot follow by, the categories of those who are today in social order, that we have to look into, just
the principles.
The principles maintained. So I don't know how it goes. Are there going to be some conflict, or is it going to work one way or the other way? I don't know. This is just my thought or something.
Well, I understand in general that the principles are more important than details, that principles are eternal and details change. So, for example, if we were to follow Varnashram Dharma right now, I don't think that Kshatriyas would kidnap their wives. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's a detail. But that was allowed. By Kshatriya Dharma, the Kshatriyas are allowed to kidnap some princess. I don't think that would be a very good idea in 2016. I just don't.
He could have so many wives.
And he could have so many wives also. Well, that will probably come anyway in the world. That's coming.
But that's not accepted.
Not right now, but it will be. Give it another 10, 15 years. That's going to be legal.
It's tradition.
That's going to be legal. If these other things are becoming legal, which we won't talk about here,
then
that's going to become legal also. I don't see how you can stop it. One thing's going to lead to the next. But as far as, kidnapping women, I don't think that's going to become legal in the near future. I think plural marriage will be legal, but not kidnapping. So some things we're not going to be able to do. And as I said, Brahmanas used to be able to curse someone and turn them into frogs. Or anything. Yes? They just said, you become a demon, and you became a demon. You can try it. If you're Brahmin initiated, you can go out there and experiment on the ants or something. But I don't think it's going to work. And Nanda Maharaj was taking care of, 900,000 cows. So there's all kinds of things, the details that we're reading about in the Shastras, that are just simply not going to work today. I mean, even if you're talking about brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas, who's prepared to live in the forest without a shelter, eating the fruits and roots in the forest?
Well, I could say the forest, Vrindavan.
But that's an adjustment.
What?
He said the forest is the Vrindavan forest.
This is our absolute.
Oh, you're very sweet. But I'm talking about the general Varnashram principle. Wasn't that every single Vanaprastha came to Vrindavan? So, those sort of details that Vanaprasthas were supposed to live in a forest eating fruits and berries without a shelter, who's going to do that? Just seriously, who's going to do that? How many of our ISKCON sannyasis follow the Bhagavatam's description of sannyas? One, two, maybe. So those details, it's not going to happen. Prabhupada in Mumbai was talking about the Brahmachari ashram in the temple, and he said, if we don't build a nice building, nobody will come. But the principles of Varnashram we can follow. That we can do. That we can start propagating in the world. That we can do ourselves. But I don't see why, what the relationship is between that and ascribing absolute authority. I'm confused on that point.
Yeah, I think the point I would ask, you said the principles should be what we should follow.
Yes.
We should uphold.
Yes.
But who are to uphold the principles?
Who is going to uphold those principles? I think all of us. I think all of us in this room are meant to understand and teach the basic principles of Dharma, which may be applied, or have to be applied. Actually, one of the principles of Dharma is that dharma has to be applied according to time, place, and circumstance. That's one of the principles of dharma. So anyone who says, we don't want to change the tradition, part of the tradition is to apply according to time, place, and circumstance. That's part of the tradition. So if you try to keep all the details the same, you're actually violating the tradition. Is this a particularly boring class, or did you have a particularly heavy lunch, or why am I losing like four people here to sleep?
Lord Chaitanya, you know, he was very strict with the sannyasi. He didn't want to see in college suicide. But Prabhupada, he said, no, I could have saved him when Vishnujan committed suicide. He did not recommend it that.
Yeah, that's so a good example.
My understanding is the founder Acharya is adjusting the scriptures according to time, place, and circumstances.
But it's not only the founder Acharya, because it's not that the way Prabhupada adjusted the details is going to be the same for 2,000 or 3,000 years.
So he's asking who is supposed to change from Prabhupada's standard to other standard?
Well, Virjan asked that question and Prabhupada said that requires intelligence. My own answer to that is all of us collectively, at least those of us who are brahminical and those of us who are strict sadhakas, that's what's given to us. We are meant to become the leaders in the world. Maybe not all of us, but that's what Srila Prabhupada wants us to do. He wants us to be the leaders and the teachers of the world, and each one of us is supposed to become mature and thoughtful and intelligent. And then we also consult with other sadhus, we consult with our gurus, we consult with the shastras, we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And what do we do when there's a big difference of opinion in our society about some things? You know, we have some people who think everything's a principle and nothing should be changed, and other people think everything's a detail and everything should be changed. Yes, we have people like this. So then we have to discuss. And ultimately, if we're a Brahminical society, we have to debate. The way that these things are settled traditionally in a Brahminical society is through debate. Just like, how did the Kshatriyas settle?
Death
match.
Huh?
Death match. A death match, yeah. A duel. Do you know that just recently in history people used to duel?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago in American history there were two big politicians who had a disagreement. Big, you know, in the federal government. And they had a duel. And one of them died. And that wasn't considered murder.
Of course not.
It was a duel.
But now the duel is with words.
Well, that's Brahmin's duel with words. So Kshatriya's duel on the battlefield. How do Vaishyas, how do they keep things? No.
Business
what? What's the word?
Money.
Out of market.
How do the Vaishyas keep their occupation pure?
By charity.
Keeping away the black market.
No, 10%.
Come on, guys. Reason from one thing to another. Brahmanas have debates. Kshatriyas have duels or warfare. What do Vaishyas have?
By the purchase.
Trade.
Keep you out of
compromise. Trade. Agreement.
Keep you out of market.
Brahmanas keep philosophy pure by debates.
Yeah.
Kshatriyas determine have high class rulership by war. How do Vaishyas keep their occupation pure?
By protecting the cows.
Protection, yes, but we're talking to relating to debate and war. Competition, folks.
Competition.
If you have to compete, if you have a competitive market,
yes.
Then if the government is not, like the communist government, removing competition, automatically it brings things up to a higher level of quality and service.
Yeah.
How do the Shudras keep their occupations to a high level of quality?
By honesty.
Competition. What kind of competition do they have?
Working.
Working hard.
Like art competitions.
Skills. Art competitions, good.
Dance competitions.
The Olympics.
Sports.
Sports competitions. There's competitions within each varna. The competitions within each varna make sure that things stay to a high level of quality. They push up quality and they push down low quality. Now the varnas don't compete with each other, they compete with themselves. So the Shudras have competitions, who's the best singer, who's the best football player, who's the best actor. The Vaishyas compete on should compete in an open market. If there's open market competition, then you're going to have the best level of quality and service. The Kshatriyas compete in a war, and they have a lot of rules for war. You can only fight with an equal. You have to follow this rule and that rule. And then the idea is that the more dharmic ruler will be favored by the Lord. If they follow the rules. If you fight between equals, that the ruler is considered judged by dharma, by the demigods and by the Lord. And the brahmanas keep things pure by debates. That again follow certain rules. And if you lose the debate, what do you have to do? You have to become the disciple. It's a heavy thing. You have to become the disciple of the person who defeated you. There's high stakes. If you're a Kshatriya and you lose, you're dead or injured. If you're a Vaishya and you lose, you're out of business. The stakes are high. So how would we do this? We should be doing this through debates. Prabhupada talked about having istagostis, which we don't usually have, unfortunately. Are we doing this right in ISKCON? Not really. Not really. We're not following a Vedic model. You're following a Shudra corporate model, which Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta both tell us not to do. But that's what we're doing. We're following a bureaucratic, centralized model, which they warned us not to do. But how do we do this? No, you don't ascribe absolute authority to anybody. You ascribe, individuals are going to give absolute authority to their guru after having tested their guru. But there's not going to be somebody with absolute authority in the world. Even the emperors didn't have absolute authority in the world. Yeah?
What would Kshatriya fighting wars, whatever, he like nowadays?
Well, first of all, you'd have to have real Kshatriyas.
Yeah.
So most of the people that we have running governments are not actually at the levels. They're not behaving like Kshatriyas. They're behaving like Vaishyas or Shudras, or some of them are behaving like Rakshasas. But they'd have to be people who are trained, ideally from childhood, in honor and in dharma. And then they follow war according to rules. I mean, I'm not a student of military, of the Dhanur Veda, but you'd have to look at the principles of the rules of war.
Do you think that all people who are Kshatriyas should be in war?
No. People who are Kshatriyas should be either running governments or on a lower level, Prabhupada said they can be landlords.
What would their competition be?
Their competition is definitely war. Sometimes they settle things through diplomacy. They don't always fight.
I just asked you if all of them should be at war, and you said no.
Look, Kshatriyas, they don't only fight, they have plenty of competitions.
They also have other kinds of competitions. They have mock competitions and they have diplomacy. First of all, they need to be real Kshatriyas. They need to be following the rules of being actual Kshatriyas, which most of them are not doing. So that's the first part of the answer. And some things they can settle through diplomacy, just like some things brahmanas can settle just through discussion, and they don't need to have a debate. But yeah, ultimately, if Kshatriya feels that another country is being run badly, then they take over that country. I mean, it's interesting that the idea of colonization and regime change is really being criticized in modern society. Because in modern society, when one country colonizes another or changes a regime, they don't better the country. They just exploit the country for their own interests. They go and colonize a country and steal all the wealth and subjugate the citizens and exploit the citizens, kill the citizens, and so forth. Or a regime change, you just go in a country, you know, assassinate the leader, destabilize the country, and then leave.
What they do to the country?
Destabilize it.
Destabilize.
So the concept that if you have a Saddam Hussein in charge, that you kill Saddam Hussein and you take over the country is a Vedic concept. But then you've got to put a good government in charge and you've got to actually build up the country. Like when Krishna arranged for Jarasandha to be killed, he put Jarasandha's son Sahadeva in charge. And he made sure the country was in good hands. He didn't just leave the country destabilized. And you don't go into a country just to suck it dry and kill all the people, which is what colonization has been like in modern times. But the concept that if another king isn't ruling properly, if another government isn't ruling properly, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go in and take over with war if necessary. It doesn't have to be war. Like Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he was going to be emperor of the world, he sent out a challenge. And only the people who didn't accept the challenge was there a war, and that was only in that case with Jarasandha where there was a duel. So it isn't necessarily a war, but you have to be prepared for that. You have to be prepared to do that. So it doesn't have to be a debate. Brahmanists can sit and have consensus, but if the consensus can't be reached, then you have to have a debate where somebody surrenders. So if the leaders can't rule by consensus and by diplomacy, then they have to be willing to have a battle. But a battle is a responsibility. When you win the battle, you're now responsible for the country that you've just conquered. You got to take care of it. You don't just abandon it. Therefore, I say the first principle of Varnashram is protection. That's the first principle. Protection, not exploitation. Today, government leaders don't even protect their own country. What to speak of having a war and protecting another country? They're not even protecting their own citizens. If they protected their own citizens, we wouldn't have polluted cities. Polluted cities you don't poison your own people. It's like some abusive parent, you know, sticking poison in their kid's baby bottle. Now, the governments that allow the cities to be polluted just breathe the air and you die. What kind of a government is that? You can't drink the water, we all have to carry around water with us. Bhakti Swami said one day we're all going to carry air around with us, you know, carry a canister of air. Okay, so I want to just end here. We're just going around and ask you which pastime you picked and 1 5-second thing about the pastime. 5 second. 1 5-second thing only.
Krishna fleeing Mathura. That what was so special that he became unfamed because of he accepted unfamousness because when he became the
I could not understand the question.
Please tell me what pastime you picked as your home task for today.
I picked rasa dance.
Please, 5 seconds, tell me something about the rasa dance.
Krishna explained there the type of prema in 4 categories.
Okay. And what pastime did you pick?
Krishna appearing into your world.
5 seconds, tell me something about it.
Enhances his devotee to association with devotee and also to eradicate the demons who are not favorable to his devotees.
What pastime did you pick?
The children of Vasudeva are born in the womb of devotee are getting killed. The cursed sons of Marichi with the presentation of mind. So before the 6 sons of mind actually present lust, greed.
You're going over 5 seconds.
Yeah. So they were killed, Krishna cannot come.
Until they're killed, Krishna cannot come.
Yeah, because before they...
Okay. Excellent. We could talk about that for about a month. Thank you. Yes?
Putana.
Okay.
And what does Putana represent? Putana represents fake goods.
the fake guru. That's another thing we could talk about maybe for 3 or 4 months. Okay, what pastime did you pick?
What's the carrying Krishna from Mathura to Vrindavan? Was Krishna afraid of Kansa even then? No, just to reciprocate with the current relationship with
him. Excellent.
And with Krishna being born in the material world, in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, how Krishna, knowing his birth itself is transcendental, and we can go to the spiritual world just by knowing.
Just by knowing, Jama Kamraj Medium. Krishna Kirti?
So Krishna was compared to a Turkish sapphire in a golden necklace surrounded by various gems and precious stones.
Wow. Okay, what did you pick?
Oh, the Nulkasura.
Oh, that's why you were WhatsApping me about Danica and Garuda.
So in the past time it explained the word Tirtha, which means crossing beyond material existence, and it says that by listening and talking about the pastimes of Krishna, we can transform.
Cross. Okay. Cross. Did you do any?
Krishna take birth as the son of Devaki and Vasudeva because he wants to drive away their fear.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So remember that you have an assignment for tomorrow. Same thing. Pick one of the Leelas in tomorrow's set of verses and do some more research into it. Do some research beyond this chapter.